Hello and welcome to my latest Matchpod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. And Arnold the dick and Murta the meek. Arnold's gone. Murta's still there. Still don't understand why Surratt hasn't got rid of this bloke. It is absolutely ridiculous. But this pod is post-match. I did have some stuff before, but I had an issue again with the recording. Something went wrong with it. So it's post-match, and it finished Wolves 3, Manchester United 4. An amazing match, and a Wolves start at the end of the game. A game that United should have... They could literally have, at one point, some messaging on a group. It was like 9-10 minutes of added time, and I basically replied United could have scored that many goals, the amount of chances they had. But actually, what happened was the usual stuff. United got an early lead, two-goal lead. They got a second two-goal lead at 3-1. But then Wolves just got back to 3-3. But then it was Kobbie Mainoo with basically a wonder goal. It was actually good work. I've just seen sort of a replay of it. Good work from Forson as well, which I didn't even know he'd come on the pitch, to be honest, to create some space. And a fantastic finish from Kobbie Mainoo. I mean, that's a scary thing at Man United. United's best players are an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old this season. I mean, you would hope some of the more experienced players would be actually bothered about trying to perform this season. One of those players is Marcus Rashford, who actually started this match after his... basically, he took a sickie. Let's be perfect. Let's not beat around the bush. He took a sickie. He thought he could get away with taking a sickie. For me, he shouldn't have started today's game. He did get the opening goal. But what it is you've got a desperate manager. Erik ten Hag knows his job is on the line. The bringing nobody in January definitely keeps the £9 million they'll need to sack him, or the £9 to £15 million they'll need to sack him, because that would go towards FFP issues, because it'd be a financial outgoing from the football club. And so desperation meant that he started Marcus Rashford. I mean, he actually started Marcus Rashford for Antony in this match, with the starting lineup being Onana in goal. Back four was Dalot, Martinez, Varane and Luke Shaw. Midfield was Bruno Fernandes, Kobbie Mainoo and Casemiro, with up front Rashford on the left, Garnacho on the right, and Højlund through the middle. Now, for me, dropping Antony makes complete sense, because he's useless. Let's be perfectly honest, and we'll come on more to Antony's shambles and how Erik ten Hag could be sacked because he signed Onana and Antony. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, Arnold's already gone for being involved in that. Murta should already be gone, but for some ridiculous reason, he's still around at this football club. Erik ten Hag's the third cog in that wheel for signing those two absolute idiots. Although, Onana's nowhere near as bad as Antony, I will say that. But Ten Hag is a desperate man. He stuck Rashford in, claiming the older, while he missed the Newport game. I mean, at the end of the day, if we needed Marcus Rashford for the Newport game, that's embarrassing enough as it is. But for me, he should start on the bench, and Ahmad should have been given an opportunity. Actually, no, who should have been given an opportunity? Actually, Palestri, but he's been sent out on loan to Granada. Antony should have been sent out on loan to Granada, Eric, and even you must realise that now. But United took the lead early, and it was Marcus Rashford. Nice little dummy from Bruno Fernandes. Højlund passed back to Marcus Rashford to link up play, and there was good link up play with the forward players. And then it was Rashford who put the ball into the back of the net. A good finish from the edge of the box. But as I say, from Ten Hag's point of view, he's desperate, but it is about getting the result. So he will feel vindicated. And at that point, we were thinking, is Rashford going to be the story tonight? He wasn't. In the end, Mainoo's the story. And another Manchester United collapse is also another story. And then United got a second with Højlund getting on the board. He's out. I think he's scored three in his last four matches. I think he's scored in the last three Premier League games. So he is... getting goals. I'm offended messing me saying he's got like 9 goals already this season. If he could get 15 to 20, it's a good first season. It is a good first season if he wasn't our number one striker. And Atalanta hadn't got a massive amount of money for him, the 60-odd million that we got. Another Murta madness. Murta incompetence. Simple as that. But Højlund got the second goal. And Wolves were struggling. United did play on the counter-attack. I mean, and they like teams that come onto them. You look at Aston Villa, they came onto them. Even Spurs, they came onto them. And, with the two goals, they were goals where United broke away quickly. As I say, United don't really have that much of a style of football when they actually have a lot of the ball. But they controlled pretty much the first half. They had plenty of chances. Casemiro, Fernandes. There were opportunities when they basically had two-on-ones. If the ball had been decent, you would have had players running through, completely clean through. They had a couple of goals disallowed for offside. You had a block from Hoyland that nearly went ricocheted off Sarr. United at half-time should have been at least 4 or 5 goals up. And you know what's going to happen next, don't you? So they got to about 70 minutes. But even then in the second half, right at the start of it, normally they concede goals. But right at the start of the second half, Fernandes had an opportunity. Hoyland had an excellent save from Sarr. They had chances. They could, as I say, they could easily have scored double-figure goals in this match. But you keep missing chances and you can get punished. And Casemiro gave away a penalty. Was it a penalty? I don't particularly want to get into whether it was a penalty or not a penalty, because let's be perfectly honest, at the end of the day, unfortunately, one of the issues with VAR is the fact that they're not willing to make to basically change a decision that their mate has made. As I say, it needs to be independent people, so they're not thinking, oh, I've got to see this bloke the next day and train with this bloke. Whether it's a penalty or not, I mean, Onana's one in the first match of the season was clearly a penalty. The ref was very quick to give the penalty. He was always going to give the penalty. I personally think the one that, if he had an opportunity, he was going to give it, because that is in the back of your mind. It's as simple as that. And the PGMOL don't like Manchester United. And nobody is going to care. We're not going to get any sort of people crying for us. You're going to just say, well, you should have lost that one again with Onana in the first match. I fully agree, we should have. And John Moss, who was running down the stairs to have a word with Gary O'Neill in that first match. I wonder if he was running down the stairs to have a word with Erik ten Hag. I doubt it. He probably wasn't even at the game. I mean, John Moss. I mean, if he's the guy leading you referees, I mean, that says everything. So back in the game, and then changes. This is where ten Hag started making changes. Now, he brought Scott McTominay on, which I think is quite a sensible move, but then he brought Anthony on. And why is he bringing Anthony on? The one-legged non-wonder, and we'll come to Anthony. And then, basically, Scott McTominay scored pretty quickly from a corner. That's what he's good at, getting into the box, it was a good header, getting into the box and performing in that way. He had a couple of other opportunities in the box, but one good save from Sam, one when he just couldn't get the ball out of his feet, unsurprisingly. As I say, he's not great with the ball at his feet. He's good at quick opportunities in and around the penalty area. And then it sort of basically was just heading towards United to see out the game through one. I messaged my mate to say, let's make it 4-5-1. Wolves have to attack. Let's just get things right moving forward. United had opportunities to break, but they were poor with the ball. They were poor with the ball, and as the half wore on, even before Wolves' penalty, United were giving the ball away too easily. Silly passes. I'm trying to make a clever pass. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple and run Wolves around. They needed the ball to get up the pitch to score the goals. United were in control of the match. And as I say, they should have been well in control with the fact that the chances that they had. But when you miss your chances, you are going to be put under pressure. And as I say, there was a lack of composure. There was a lack of leadership. And Wolves got a second goal from a corner. I don't know who was trying to head it across. I should have another look. But one thing's for sure, Anthony lost the ball further up the pitch before the corner was given away. And Onana, for me, it's not good goalkeeping at the end of the day. I mean, as I say, apparently David De Gea was the problem at Old Trafford. It's absolutely ridiculous, some of the decisions that have been made. And as I say, Erik ten Hag, along with John Merton, Richard Arnold, your names, unfortunately, are all over those. Arnold's gone. Merton's got to be next. Erik ten Hag knows that he could easily be next. So 3-2. And then basically, Erik ten Hag just started making negative substitutions. Unfortunately, Lisandro Martinez went off and was strapping on his foot. I mean, if he's injured again, because he was immense in the match. I mean, you could tell there was much more composure in that defence. Him and Varane much better as a pair defensively. When Casemiro went off, although I expected that, he'd just come back from a long layoff. And sort of, I could understand what Scott McTominay coming on, but you know what? Maybe what they needed to do, And I suppose they don't have the clientele. They don't have the clientele for that at the moment. But maybe when Amrabat comes back, if Scott McTominay's going to come on, he should come on for Bruno Fernandes, because he wasn't having a good game today. And Amrabat will come on for Casemiro. And what you saw there is you saw the midfield just collapse. And as I say, Mainoo's goal was fantastic and, you know, obviously a key part of the game. But he didn't do his midfield job. Neither did Fernandes. And neither did Scott McTominay, because Wolves' equaliser, United were all up the pitch. I don't know why all the players were up the pitch. I have no idea why the players were all up the pitch. And then they just broke away and Neto drilled the ball into the back of the net. And as I say, on top of these substitutions, they were either like for like or negative substitutions, trying to keep the game sort of tight. And at the point when he took off Rasmus Højlund at one point, took off Garnacho late in the game for Johnny Evans. So you're just playing defenders. And then they equalised after Johnny Evans had come on. So where were the defenders? Why was everybody up the pitch? It was a Manchester United corner and Antony gave the ball away again. This guy should not play for Manchester United again. Should not play another minute unless he actually learns to use his right foot. It's just a waste. Just leave him on the bench. Ahmad, it's ridiculous he's not getting any time. And it's even more ridiculous that Balestri is at Granada. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I'm not a fan of agents having a pop at managers, but the agent looks correct. He looks correct. Palestri's agent was saying there's no point in coming back to Man United if Erik ten Hag is the manager. Because if Erik ten Hag thinks playing Antony is the way forward ahead of playing Palestri or Ahmad, he's absolutely clueless. I know he bought that player and he's not the one that made sure he was 80 million. He should have been 50 million. But even 50 million would be ridiculous for Antony. And as I say, the wages. Antony's stealing away. He's like a lot of these players at Manchester United. And it's sad that a 19-year-old in Garnacho and an 18-year-old in Kobbie Mainoo are the two key players. Obviously, it got to 3-3. Wolves, the stadium's going berserk. United have thrown it away again. Then Kobbie Mainoo did his thing. A fantastic goal. And a huge win for Manchester United. But I think it also shows all the holes in Manchester United as a football playing club. Let's be perfectly honest. As I say, part of Kobbie Mainoo's job is also to actually play in midfield. And him, McTominay and Bruno Fernandes just didn't work. It just didn't work. And we'd need, I know Amrabat's not been great this season, but getting him back as a player who can play a defensive role, they need to have two defensive-minded players in that midfield area. Or they've got major problems. And you do worry when they play better teams, because even with two defensive-minded players, you look at the Liverpool game, United just basically played like they were a side that was trying to stop themselves from getting relegated at a top club. And United have, I think they moved up to sixth, I think. No, seventh in the table. I think they're just behind West Ham, who they play next on Sunday. But, you know, I'm not fooled. I mean, it's great to get the result. Obviously, for the away fans, it's fantastic. For me, even in the pub that I was watching it in, it was fantastic. But you've got people saying, singing United songs and going absolutely ballistic. That's fine. But the level of Manchester United as a football club is mid-table matters. It's as simple as that. And people, you can call me negative all you want. I don't care. I called it out 10 plus years ago. I've called out every time since then, and I've been proven correct about how much of a shambles this football club is. I was even messaging my mate who, let's just say he wanted to give Ed Woodward, Richard Arnold and John Murta an opportunity. Even he's realised that was ridiculous. Even he realises that they didn't know what they were doing. So he knows who he is, and he knows that it's pretty clear what the issues are at the football club. And Sir Rat, is he gonna resolve them? Well, we'll find out. We'll find out soon enough. I think there must be an announcement about him taking over the club. As I say, it will be after the January transfer window, so those scum parasite Glazers can take even more money out of this football club, because that is what they do. That's all they're interested in. Not interested in the football side of this club. And as I say, Erik ten Hag's got a good result, but don't be fooled. I'm not having any of this. Oh, this could be a turning point. It's garbage. turning points are when you actually perform consistently on the pitch and actually have a style of play and actually show that there's some leadership and composure. That dressing room, there's still massive issues in that dressing room, and Garnacho and Kobbie Mainoo were the only positive shining lights that have come out of that this season consistently. But they're going to be infected soon enough. And players should have already gone out of this football club in the summer and in January, but they're still there. They're still there, hanging about. And as I say, that's even before we talk about Rashford. People can say, oh, you got that wrong with Rashford. Rashford should be starting. But why is Rashford starting that football match? As I say, it is all about results, but he's starting that football match because the manager is in desperate, desperate, desperate straits. And whilst Rashford was better, there were still times when he didn't release the ball very well. He released it well for Højlund's goal. And there were also times when, defensively, he didn't put himself in the right positions. So he'll need to improve on that, and we'll have to see if he can get that consistency. He does score goals against Wolves, and he also scores goals against West Ham as well. Because he scored some goals against them in the when he first came onto the scene as well. So hopefully we will we'll see Rashford, because he will start against West Ham, because he's taken responsibility, and it's case closed. But do you know what? The case will be closed when we get to the end of the season, and we'll see how much of the performance he should do. When he scored, he didn't do anything. He just looked quite sad and somber. Do you know what, Marcus? That's what you should do, because you should be trying to be a consistent footballer instead of trying to be some kind of drunk who's very angry or seemingly not happy that maybe his mate, Jadon Sancho, has been dealt with. And for those who say, oh, the Jadon Sancho never got this, well, Marcus Rashford isn't stupid enough to stick a social media post slagging off his manager and then leaving it there for 8 days. I mean, the way Cristiano Ronaldo was treated, and this was before he did his interview, these players are at this football club, but this is Cristiano Ronaldo, a Manchester United legend. Rashford's nowhere near being a Manchester United legend. He's just somebody, always come through the youth, or we have to always protect him. He's 26 now. He needs to be protecting himself by performing on the pitch and being persistent and doing his job, which he did do tonight. But he needs to do it week in, week out. And there's plenty of players that don't do their job week in, week out. Sadly, at the football club, I mean, on the pitch and off the pitch, without a doubt. So a win for Manchester United. Fantastic for Kobbie Mainoo. But still lots of work to be done at this football club. And as I say, this has been, I mean, let's be honest, let's not beat around the bush. They're -4 goal difference. This season has been awful. Out of the Champions League in the group stages, this season is awful. Let's not beat around the bush. This season is poor. Don't let, oh, we've an amazing match against Wolves be like what you remember. As I say, remember after the Chelsea game, oh, we're back. Garbage. As I say, call me negative, no issue with that. I'm actually a realist, and I realistically see this Manchester United side being a mid-table matter side that may win the FA Cup. It's as simple as that. And we need Martinez back, because, I mean, I suppose it'll be interesting if Martinez is injured. Does he play Harry Maguire, or does he play Johnny Evans? And I've heard people saying, oh, Johnny Evans has been a good signing for Man United. It's a good signing for a mid-table side. That says everything. But anyway, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up, as always, up at www.musglobal.co.uk, up at various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCAST. Search MUFC Global on your favourite search engine, and it will come up. And you can like, comment, share, subscribe. Let me know what you think. And, you know, if you think I'm being too negative, that's fine, mate. You comment. I just think I'm being a realist. And I think you're allowed to be a realist. If you're always positive, tell me what's positive about this season. Tell me what's positive about this season. Garnacho and Kobbie Mainoo. Nothing else. I would argue nothing else has been, you know, positive in regards of what the season we had last season. Top four and winning a trophy. I mean, even Andrew Postecoglou, who's the greatest manager since sliced bread, is not going to do what Erik ten Hag did last season. Andrew Postecoglou, who's got to win the Premier League to do better than Erik ten Hag did last season. But as I say, Erik ten Hag is under massive pressure and he needs to get things right and he needs to start making, at times, better decisions. As I said, I don't think his substitutes helped today, and I have no idea why so many players were that far forward when you're winning 3-2 in stoppage time and you have a corner. It's absolutely ridiculous. That's leadership off the pitch, but the leadership on the pitch, as I say, there's still grave issues within that dressing room. And as I say, Kobbie Mainoo got them out of it. But you could argue that Kobbie Mainoo, along with Bruno Fernandes and Scott McTominay, were even doing their jobs properly when they went. So it's that balance, isn't it? Want everybody to be doing their job. But I think Kobbie Mainoo can be given the pass for the goal and the fact that he's 18 and the others are the more experienced players and they don't do their job. It's a shocker, really. It's worrying, the things that you see. But as I say, all that will be taken out is how great Kobbie Mainoo is and that goal was. There's bigger issues than that at this football club. As I say, it's not just the issues off the pitch. But anyway, thanks for listening. I will be back on after Sunday, after the West Ham game. I'm out of my mate Linders. So, yeah, as I say, we're a bit apprehensive. I'm out of my mate Linders for the next 3 weekends for our next matches. I'm at Villa away and then Luton away. I think that will tell us a lot more about this football club whether they've turned the corner. As I say, I'll only be corner turning when we get to the end of the season and we've actually improved as a football club and we're winning matches and we've you can see a style and a way of playing and we've not got weak decisions basically being made across the football club. That's as far as I'm willing to go at this stage. But anyway, thanks for listening. I'll be back after the West Ham game on Sunday.